You're listening to
Hello again, everyone, and happy April Fool's Day. This is Sci-Fi Dig Show 328. I am your host, Aaron Makem. This week I'm going to talk about a very, very fun film that you cannot find on DVD that I know of. The review is about an hour long. It'll be a good old April Fool's breakdown of a show. I haven't done one of those. I haven't done a clip show for April Fool's in a long time. It just so happens that April 1st falls on a release date. Before we get into that, I want to go over DVD releases for April 2nd. We have the Marvel Cinematic Suitcase coming out. It's going to run you $150 on Amazon, and it seems as though it comes with all the movies. We have the Iron Man, Iron Man 2, Thor, Incredible Hulk, Captain America, the Avengers, a bunch of dossiers, and it looks like we're going to get a Blu-ray called S.H.I.E.L.D. The Avengers Initiative. It's going to be a 10-disc set with 6 movies in it. That's going to be plenty of extras to go around. If you've never purchased these, then this would be a good opportunity to pick all these up. Unfortunately, I have most of these, so this is not something I'm going to pick up. But for the collector out there, it seems as though it's going to be packed with all kind of stuff. Also, we're going to get John Dies at the End. And a three-film Hammer horror set is also going to be available. It's actually a pretty decent, it's going to be $8, and you're going to get Dracula, Prince of Darkness, 7 Golden Vampires, and Frankenstein, Created Woman. I think these have been a couple that have been, I think Frankenstein, Created Woman has not, has been hard to find. I'm not sure about that, but I'm pretty sure it's been pretty hard to find one. That seems to be about it for the second. Not a lot of stuff out there. If you live in the UK, you're getting some great steelbooks here that we still are not getting here in the US. But you're going to get Silver Linings Playbook. You're going to get Platoon in a steelbook format, X-Men Limited Edition steelbook, The Man with the Iron Fists steelbook, Silence of the Lambs steelbook, The Punisher with Dolph Lundgren on Blu-ray is finally available, Primeval New World Season 1 is going to be available, Touch Season 1 is going to be available, Firefly, the complete series, limited edition steelbook is also going to be available, and The Man with the Iron Fists Blu-ray is going to be available. That seems to be about it. A lot of good choices there. The Dolph Lundgren one, I just picked that up on regular DVD about, probably about a year ago. Not a bad movie. Not a bad Punisher movie. I mean, you know, it's an 80s action flick, but it's pretty enjoyable. I enjoy watching it. I know it's not for everybody. A couple of news items here. I see that Brandon Braga thinks that Enterprise could return with the help of Netflix. Now, I'm not sure how to take this article. Basically, he's saying that Arrested Development has gotten additional seasons due to the fact that it was running on Netflix, and they have all the numbers, and they've collected all the data, and because of that, they went ahead and greenlit another season of Arrested Development. And he's saying that the best thing you can do is go on Netflix and watch Enterprise on there. And if there's a big enough audience, you know, never say never. But this is kind of link bait. This is from Blaster. So, I mean, it's usually all link bait. But you could say that about any show. You know, sure, if there was the numbers, you know, that. But, you know, you'd have to rebuild all those sets and get everybody back and sign them back on. And only the people that aren't really doing anything with their careers, I think, would jump back on because it wouldn't be a lot of money in the beginning. It would be nice if Netflix was able to pick up a series like this or do a series like this that had these kind of numbers. But I sincerely doubt Paramount is going to give them a very big cut of this. So I don't see this as being, I don't see this as ever happening. He talks in here about Jericho might get another season due to their numbers. And, you know, of course, we have the Veronica Mars movie going forward, which is a much more inexpensive set. And speaking of that, it seems as though they're trying to, they're seeing how feeling it out about whether or not they're going to do a Chuck movie via Kickstarter. Zachary Levi was quoted as saying, "I've always thought about doing a Chuck movie, and it would have gone straight to monetizing it and selling it directly to fans, and we might still actually be on air, but there's a lot of conversations that need to happen. I'm going to sit down with producer Josh Schwartz and Chris Fedek and just kind of gauge their temperature on it, see how much they'd want to be involved. Of course, I only want them to do it with the blessing of them. They created the show and the blessings of Warner Brothers. And of course, they mentioned Firefly in here as well, which, you know, is going to come up with this Kickstarter stuff. But, here's the thing is Veronica Mars could have used the movie to kind of tie things up. And it would be nice for that. Chuck, I love the show. Don't get me wrong. But the season finale was pretty well done, pretty final. You know, we don't really need a movie. I mean, I would go and certainly would watch it. But the jury's still out on this Kickstarter stuff. It seems there's a lot of people bad-mouthing it, saying that, well, sure, you know, you collect the cash and then you don't deliver the film and you end up walking away with the money. Because you keep in mind, you're not guaranteed any return on your investment on Kickstarter. People seem to think it's a store, and it's not. But the idea here, I think, would be to gauge how much interest there would be, and if you had enough money to kind of break even, then, you know, moving forward be kind of a no-brainer. Everybody gets the money, everybody gets the work, they make their money, and the project breaks even, the fans get what they paid for, and everything works out. We'll see how the Veronica Mars things plays out, but Chuck would be a lot less expensive set than, like, say, Enterprise or another sci-fi show, so I could see that being done. Anyway, that's all the news and all the DVD releases I have, so with that being said, I'm just going to go ahead and do the April Fool's clip show. Enjoy. It has been a very long time since I have done an April 1st episode. Now, when I started doing the April 1st episodes, you know, it was really before all the April 1st, you know, April Fool stuff started flying around on the interwebs. And I just thought it would be funny to, I thought it would be fun and funny to do a show about something completely unrelated to what Sci-Fi Dig was all about. And I think one of the first episodes I did way back when was the Miami Vice episode. And Teresa was the episode. I remember it because I remember every Miami Vice episode because, well, it was the best show that was ever on television. Anyway, and I talked, you know, those of you that have been with the podcast since 2005 know that, for the longest time, you know, besides science fiction, I talked about Miami Vice, I talked about Kiss, and I talked about the fact that I only had dial-up for the longest time. And it was funny because I was looking back through some older stuff, and I found a design somebody made that said, I have dial-up, you know, because I used to always say that. But I haven't done an April 1st episode in a while. I've done some pretty good ones. I've done some ones that, you know, where I've just gone right out and done something crazy, and then, you know, a story I've talked about, or I've done one where I've tried to sell it as something I was currently covering. My favorite one was when I talked about the unaired episode of Lost, and I had people going for about 5 minutes and they realized it was Gilligan's Island. So, but they had a lot in common. Anyway, so it just occurred to me, and I've been looking for this movie on DVD. It does not exist on DVD, and but I have a VHS copy. And I was doing some conversions for somebody while I still have a working VCR. And, VHS to digital conversions, they're kind of hit or miss. You know, there's nothing that's going to be super great. You know, you have to kind of realize that the quality is not going to be what you want it to be. But since I was doing these conversions and I was looking through my VHS tapes, I've slowly been getting rid of a lot of VHS tapes that I've either rebought on DVD or I just no longer want. I have, of course, all my Kiss bootleg concerts on VHS. I still have all of those. And actually, some of those I can find in digital format now if I look around hard enough. But there's some stuff that's just no longer available. You can find other versions of it, but you just can't find that one, you know, factory VHS. You know, they don't make a factory DVD, so you've got to get, like, a bootleg copy. Anyway, one of the movies that I've always loved, and I saw this the first time it aired on, I think it must have aired on cable or something, and I saw it. And I was so excited about it because it had Gene Simmons from Kiss in it, and I was so incredibly stoked. And I know right now everybody's thinking, oh, he's going to do Runaways. No, no, I'm not, because that'd be science fiction. I'm going to do something just completely ridiculous. The name of the movie is Never Too Young to Die. And it stars Gene Simmons, Vanity, and John Stamos. So you can fire up your IMDb right now. And then if you can find a version of this, great. I had to do a video conversion of this, so the quality I had to work with was not that great, because the tape that I had was actually, I remember when I bought it used. There's no way I could find it. And pretty sure I bought that like in 1989. And so it's been sitting here on the shelf. I've watched it a couple of times. But now I have this wonderful digital version that I can put on my phone or on my Nexus or on my iPad or watch it on my computer. And I pulled some audio for it. Now, if you go and you look up this movie, you're not going to find any good reviews whatsoever. Nonetheless, I love this film, okay? I'm going to give you the plot summary as it is here on IMDb. Secret agent Drew Stargrove is brutally murdered by the ruthless Von Ragnar in this action-packed Bond-style thriller. The murdered secret agent's son, Lance Stargrove, that's John Stamos, is thrust into the dangerous, intriguing world of secret agents and espionage when he seeks revenge against Von Ragnar. Donja Deerling, who is Vanity, teams up with Lance as his sidekick and love interest. Now, what's funny about that is that she's not his sidekick. She's actually a spy person and knows all kind of spy-y stuff. But in true 80s fashion, as soon as the man comes on the scene, Vanity kind of takes a back seat. Well, as much as Vanity could, because I don't know if you noticed, but she's just smoking hot. But anyway, so there's a first half of the movie. Well, I say the first 30 minutes of the movie, I didn't pull any audio from because it's an action film. So it's really driven by the action. So trying to find audio for this, when I came across, I thought this would be perfect. I'm going to go ahead and do this. And I thought, I thought that before I rewatched it. And then as I'm rewatching, I'm thinking there's so little audio in the first half hour to set up what's going on. It's all just action driven and you're not actually hearing what people are doing. So I'm going to give you the lowdown. John Stamos, who plays Lance Stargrove, and they have an entire Stargrove theme song, which I did not pull the audio for, but do not worry, because the two other award-winning songs I have audio for, and you will get to enjoy those, because they are just fantastic. But the Stargrove song, where they just keep singing his name over and over again while he's jumping around on a trampoline because he's a gymnast. His daddy never comes to see him. We don't know anything about his mom, really. His dad never comes to see him, and he's in a... I think it's supposed to be college, but they act like it's some kind of boys' home or something. And his roommate, who is an Asian guy who makes played by Peter Kwong, makes all kind of great gadgets. And one of the gadgets he makes is this kind of flamethrower thing that ends up being a big part of the whole movie, which is funny because they have a gazillion weapons, but they're going to use this thing that he made, right? So the deal is here is that Gene Simmons, who plays Velvet Von Ragnar, who is a transvestite, his whole plan is that he's going to pump radioactive waste into the water supply and then hold it all for ransom, which doesn't make any sense, because once you pump it in there, how are you going to hold it for ransom? Once it's contaminated. But, it was the 80s. Things didn't have to make sense. And so that's the whole thing. But what's holding him up is that there is a computer disk that has all the information in order to rechannel the water supply, right? And because I know that if you live in one of those locations that happens to have just nuclear waste and crap laying around, that it's right next to the water supply and everything is interconnected. I mean, everybody knows that. I mean, hello. I won't even get into the fact that they're using a radio. They're using a computer that has a radio control in order to control everything at the end, and they cannot figure out how to shut it off. Well, tell me there's no manual override. Why doesn't somebody just go into the plant and turn off the radio controlled computer? I'm just saying. But again, 80s, things didn't have to make sense. As long as we can move the plot along, didn't really matter. So at this point, John Stamos is emo boy before emos were a thing. And he's all sad because daddy never comes to visit and blah, I don't know what my daddy does and blah, blah, blah. He's friends with Cliff, and So with the scene that I have audio for here is his dad, Stargrove Sr., who's the most awesomest agent in the whole world. I mean, we have a scene where it's him and one other guy against like 20 bad guys, and he pulls an umbrella out and he opens the umbrella up like the Penguin, and it's bulletproof, and he runs toward them and he's shooting on the other side of the umbrella, and he's just kicking everybody's ass. He's like amazing Mr. Secret Agent. Well, he ends up getting captured and he's thrown down a chair in front of Velvet. I'm just gonna call him Velvet from now on, because saying Von Ragnar is kind of hard. He sits down in front of Velvet, and they have this exchange.
No more nasty play.
A program disc was stolen from me, Stargrove.
I believe you've got it.
Oh, come on, this is stupid.
You're right. Very stupid. Assuming, of course, you want to see your son.
What kind of designer drug are you on? How is Lance involved here?
You know, oddly enough, I wasn't sure he was. Until now.
Lance hasn't got a clue about my work.
Nor did his mother, but that didn't save her.
You bastard. You're threatening to kill Lance.
I'm not threatening, sweetie. I'm promising to kill him, unless I get that disc.
All right. I'm afraid you've hit me in my only soft spot. The disc is surprisingly close at hand, as a matter of fact.
Freeze! Up and down him.
Left breast.
Now, that wonderful crunching sound you hear there is Stargrove unzipping a pocket on his jacket, and the henchman reaches in to get the disc, and we don't know what's in the pocket. All we know is blood starts squirting out, so it must have been a giant mousetrap or something. And the reason I played all the racket afterwards, because you got to dig that wonderful music, right? It's just outstanding. Now, the next clip is right after Stargrove Sr.'s funeral. And Lance, and I guess it must be his uncle, who happens to head up the organization, you know, the spy organization, although, you know, he doesn't, you know, we don't know what it's called or anything, and Lance doesn't know that, are riding back in a limo, and he's laying down, you know, giving him information, you know, of what, you know, about the will and things like that. And Lance is, you know, feeling sad for himself, and he's going to talk about his feelings a little bit.
The money's in the custodian account that your Aunt Hillary and I will manage until you're 21 years old. Not rich, but you'll never be on food stamps either. And of course, that doesn't take into account your farm up in Ohio.
What farm?
Your father's retreat. Did he ever mention that? The deed, whatnot.
I don't believe the way my father died, Mr. Arliss.
I saw the police report, Lance. He lost control of the car. Hit a freeway bridge.
Bullshit.
I beg your pardon, Lance.
My father didn't work for any oil company, all right?
Who, pray tell, did he work for?
I really don't care right now.
You're upset, Lance. It's natural. I'm trying to find some justification for a senseless tragedy.
Guys make me sick. Let me off up here.
Doesn't make any sense. What's so fucking ever?
What does anymore? Would you believe I'm a farmer?
You're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. I own a farm. 1250 El Sacote, Santa Inez.
What's it like?
I'll let you know.
And with that, Lance goes to visit the farm. This is one of my favorite scenes of the entire movie. I love this scene. Before Lance arrives on his Enduro motorcycle, you know, and those people don't know what Enduro is. It's a dirt bike that happens to have lights on it. Vanity is there, and she gets done riding a horse, and she's putting the horse into the barn. Now, did I mention that Velvet's whole crew is a bunch of post-apocalyptic rejects, okay? I have no idea what the idea is here, but they have, like, this camp that apparently nobody in a helicopter can find. I don't know. They're looking for this guy, and they can't seem to find him. But they have this, like, big arena, and they all have beat-up motors. It's like all the extras from The Road Warrior, okay, is this entire group, right? Now, these guys are all pretty buff and cut, and this girl, Vanity, gets off the horse, and a guy comes in, and he's like, where's the disc? And he's got this spiked long hair. You got to see it. It's ridiculous, this haircut, right? And he has a machine gun and stuff, and she just kicks the crap out of him and then manages to put his face in the pile of horse crap and stands on him. Well, somebody comes up from above and jumps her. During this altercation, there's a wall that has a bunch of bridles on it. She jumps on the wall and hits a panel, and it spins around. The panel spins around. There's a whole bunch of guns on the back side of the panel. Now, when it spins back around, she has a machine gun, and she takes all these guys out. Well, Lance shows up, and during this altercation, she's shooting one of the guys, and one of the guys is shooting, and some stuff gets shot up, and there ends up being a fire in the barn. Now, keep in mind, it's a very, very small fire, and it's in the hay, and rather than putting it out, she tells him to run, and then we see there's a box of grenades, and so everything blows up, and that's the next clip that I have. It's like her telling him to get out of the barn because it's going to blow, and it's very, very dramatic.
Get out of here! It's going to blow!
The name's Stargrove.
So the next clip, they head back to the house, and of course Vanity she's got a little cut on her arm, but for some reason she has to take her shirt off. I'm not complaining. And, Lance is trying to figure out what's going on. So I have two clips I'm going to play back to back here. You know, Lance is looking around, seeing pictures of his mother and father, and seeing his dad's medal and things like that. And she's packing, you know, she's trying to bandage herself up, and she asks for some help. But anyway, I'm going to play both these clips back to back here. It's going to be like a little glitch in between.
Hey, what the hell's going on here?
What do you mean?
What do I mean? People are trying to kill you and me. Like in permanent dead, you know?
Don't worry about it. We're safe for the meantime.
Oh, safe for the meantime.
Yeah.
Who are those guys in the barn? Who are you guys? What's going on?
Relax.
What's going on here?
You're not in this little picture gallery.
Those were just his playthings. Our relationship was professional.
Yeah, right. No, I'm not afraid. Try again, I'm not afraid.
I'm sorry. I understand.
No sympathy, please.
Listen. I promise you. I'll do everything I can to find out what happened to your daddy.
Will it bring him back?
No.
So thanks, but no thanks, all right?
I don't get it. Don't you care about your father?
Yeah. Almost as much as he cared about me.
Excuse me. I thought I saw a different Stargrove back at the barn. I was obviously mistaken, huh?
What is it?
Stay here, okay?
Thank God you're all right. That barn looks like it was hit by lightning. What happened?
We had visitors.
Visitors? What were they after?
A disc.
The elusive disc. Damn. Thimble, thimble, who's got the thimble? I don't suppose you took any prisoners we could check.
They're crazies, wired to the eyeballs. It didn't seem the thing to do at the time.
All right. Any idea who could be behind this?
Ragnar.
Ragnar? The hermaphrodite? Half man, half woman? I thought he disappeared years ago.
Yeah, well, he's reappeared, and guess what? He's performing a nightclub act and getting rave reviews at a place called The Incinerator.
Hmm, sounds like fun. Why don't you clock him?
Just what I had in mind.
Who's that man in the Mercedes? Associate of my father's?
Yeah, I have to go out now. But you're gonna be sick because nobody's coming back here tonight.
Where are you going?
A quiet little place for a nightcap.
Some company?
No. You stay here. And be good.
Now, a couple things need to be clarified here. First of all, we're not exactly sure what the relationship was between Vanity and Stargrove Sr., okay? She says it was professional. I don't know, you know. I'm just saying that it's clear that, you know, Lance and her are going to hook up. And just, ooh. Secondly, now, to see them, I guess if you were not a fan of Kiss and Gene Simmons, you would not see it right away. But the very first time that we meet Carruthers, who is like her handler or another agent at the agency, at the shop, they call it, because he had to make it sound official and spy-y. It's clear that it's Gene Simmons, you know, and the fact that nobody knows that that's the leak, the double agent, is kind of ridiculous because it's not really a double agent. I mean, the guy that's in, you know, in the shop with them is the guy that they're all looking for. So they must all really, really suck at their job. I mean, granted, Velvet normally has long hair and is dressed as a woman. And Carruthers has red hair and a red beard. But as soon as you hear them talk, he has a very distinct voice. You know it's him. And the first time I saw him, I knew it was him. And I was like, what? I was like, this is already... yeah, this is the point where I realized that the movie had huge holes, right? Okay, it was 1986. I thought it was the best movie ever. Shut up. Anyway, so Vanity goes to this nightclub, okay, apparently where Velvet performs. And Lance, John Stamos, shows up there as well. And this is when we're going to see the first big musical number. Now, we had the Stargrove song, which is amazing in itself, and I'm kind of bitter I didn't pull that clip. Maybe in a future episode I'll play that for you guys. It just. I mean, what kind of movie? It's got to be a great movie if they have an entire theme song dedicated to the lead character, right? Right. So anyway, this is Gene Simmons actually performing, and he is in full drag, and the dress that he is wearing is actually... I just found this out. It's amazing what you can find out when you know, look at around. The costume that he is wearing for his nightclub act is actually the same costume that Linda Carter wore for her television special called Encore in 1980, in which she tried to look like a member of the band Kiss, and she sang "I Was Made for Loving You." So that's why it fits, because she also is very tall, and so is Gene Simmons, and he just, you know. You're a Kiss fan, and they're a hardcore band. They're going through some turbulent times with the makeup removal and still trying to find their new identity. And then Gene Simmons comes out and dresses in drag, and you got to defend that to your friends, okay? I don't, you know, I just had to make everybody believe it was the best movie ever, and all of this could really happen, and I still believe that, and you should believe that too. The end.
Takes a man like me to be a woman like me.
Yeah!
Can you guess what I am? Do you believe what you see?
Yeah!
Well, is this a dream, or can I be for real? Well, if you doubt yourself, I can let you feel, yeah!
down, well, it's possible he killed your father.
I thought my father's death was an accident.
I thought you said you didn't care about Drew.
Come on, don't throw a statement out there like that. Leave me hanging. What?
Why the sudden concern?
He may have been a bastard, but the guy was my father.
He wasn't a bastard.
He was, too. He screwed everything he touched. My mother, me, and obviously you.
I've got no man, and I'm not too clean. You know what I like, if you know what I mean.
Yeah!
Honey, they're all the same. Quit while you're ahead.
But I know who I am, so just don't forget. Cause what you see, baby, is what you get.
How did that song not win a Grammy? I mean, come on. It's got an awesome bass line. It's got a lot of yeah in it. You know, I mean, what, how can you not? How? Anyway, my favorite line in that whole bit there is when John Stamos is trying to overact. And, you know, I've cut the guy some slack, okay, because this is his first big gig. It's like, the guy, he may have been a bastard, but he was my father. And he kind of winds it out a little bit there. Anyway, so the movie progresses. And what happens is that John Stamos decides to leave. And when he does, some drunk guy decides to take his bike. His buddy Cliff, and this doesn't make any sense either, devised a piece of bubble gum that has a wire in it, a wiretap in it, okay? You're supposed to chew it up and then stick it somewhere. Unfortunately, this is not the age of, you know, really tiny devices. And this thing is about as big as a half a stick of gum. It's hard and it's in the center of the gum. So I'm not quite sure how you're supposed to chew that, but they just kind of leave that part out. So he chews this up and he sticks it inside his statue. And he goes in and asks Velvet for her autograph, and Velvet is trying to get a kiss from him, and he's not having any of that, and he hides this. Now, I should mention that Velvet's weapon of choice is this big, long poison fingernail. I'm assuming it's poison because it kills so easily, and she has used it in the past to eviscerate people and stab people in the neck and kill, you know, just kill people with it, right? So he stashes this in this statue. He goes out and he's trying to listen in, thinks he's going to get one up, you know, and it cracks me up. It's like, here's this college kid who's going to try to spy on this person. And, battling against a spy organization. And so I think they probably know a thing or two. So naturally Velvet finds she scans the room before, you know, with a bug fighter before anything happens and flushes down the toilet. He goes to get on the bike. Some guy says, nah, this will be my bike now, pushes him into the trash, starts the bike, and it promptly blows up, killing the guy. So he ends up going back to the dorm, talks to his buddy Cliff. Cliff lets him know that he has the disc, that the disc came in a care package that his dad sent, and he has hidden it somewhere on his customized motorcycle. And so John Stamos gets on a street bike, and he's chasing after Vanity, who's in a vet. During this this little chase scene, he's trying to catch up to her, because remember, she's mad at him. He upset her. And they're racing along, and, you know, she's a super spy, but yet can't lose this kid in the middle of nowhere, but whatever. The two road warrior rejects come up on motorcycles, and they don't have guns or anything, because, well, that would make sense. What they have is, I think one has, like, a mace or something, and so there's this little road battle where they're driving along, and Vanity's on the other side of a tractor trailer driving in the gravel. He's on the road on the other side of a tractor trailer. These two guys around him. She pulls out a gun. He hits the brakes. She shoots both of them. The end. And then we have he pulls up beside her, and they have this exchange.
I'm sorry. I was wrong about you.
Fine. Get in.
Hey, my bike!
What the hell are you trying to do? Get yourself killed or something?
Hey, cool it, lady. I can take care of myself.
Look,
don't worry about it.
You can. Damn you. Your daddy was much more than just a partner to me. What he did for me and my family was much more than any human being could possibly expect from anybody. So for him, I've got to keep you safe. And that means keeping you away from me. Whether you like it or not. Do you understand?
Yes.
Good.
So this is the scene where Lance goes back to the farmhouse. Apparently everybody knows about the farmhouse except for Lance and all the bad guys, and all his dad's, professional people show up. And he's there, and somebody comes in. The little alarm thing goes off, and he realizes that somebody is coming in. It's somebody on a motorcycle. They have a helmet on. They come in, and Lance jumps down and starts attacking the guy, only to realize that it's Cliff.
Lance! Cliff! Is that any way to treat your friends?
What the hell are you doing here?
I came to help. And I'm fully prepared. Look at this. I got the fire blazer. And it's improved, and it works.
Crazy nut.
Hey, come take a look at my new bike.
Did you get the money from?
I billed it to your credit card.
I gotta find this disc.
You mean the one that your father sent?
You got it?
Sure. Remember? All for one for all.
Cliff, where is it?
It's right here in the bike. I built a special compartment for it. Wait a minute.
Fucking A.
What is this place?
Some troubleshooter. My papa's more like a one-man army. All right. Let's find Donja.
We need all this to find Donja? Hey, who's Donja?
All right, Cliff, what's on the disc?
Well, as far as I can tell, it's an encrypted access for poking a system. In this case, the city water supply. And seeing that you're talking, rechanneling radioactive waste, and the disc is the key data
Cliff,
link.
Can you just speak English? All right, now what could they do with this disc?
Poison the entire city water supply forever.
We're hot. Exhaust from Diablo Canyon coming in. Around F3, where the red starts turning into the blue main.
And yes, that is Robert Englund you hear there at the end there. He's the little guy in charge of poisoning the city water supply. Nobody has explained to me yet, although Cliff even says, if they poison it, it's forever. How are you going to get money for that? Once it's poisoned, it's poisoned. There's no ransom demands ahead of time. And in the beginning of the movie, the first thing Gene Simmons says, is we're going to poison it for money and for jewels, for glory or whatever. And how are you going to ransom that? Once it's poisoned, it's poisoned. He says it's forever. There's no way to unpoison it. How are you going to get ransom money? That's a big hole in his scheme. The next clip is everybody in the shop. They're having a conversation. And, of course, Carruthers is there. And they're explaining about how they came across the disc.
Drew was afraid there was a traitor in the store, so he hid the disc in a food package addressed to Lance.
Outstanding. You have it on you, boy?
No, but it's safe.
What exactly is in this disc?
Data that would enable Ragnar to access and contaminate the city water system.
For 10,000 years, it'll be drinking glow. Now, what would you pay to call something like that off? $1 billion seem out of line?
An entire city held for ransom by a maniac.
But it's over now, since we got the disc.
I don't know about that. I don't think this will stop Ragnar. He wants that disc. I have an idea.
What do you have in mind, Carruthers?
Sir, I'd like to suggest a way of getting Ragnar to show his hand. A trap. With Donja and Lance as the bait.
Well, duh. Of course they gotta be the bait. Otherwise, how would we progress this Emmy-nominated, Academy Award-winning, Grammy delight film? How would we progress it forward? Okay, so this is the lowdown. This is the scene we're all waiting for. I don't know about you, but in 1986, this was the scene that I was waiting for. So it's Lance and Vanity, just kicking it at the old homestead that everybody and their brother knows about. It's not a retreat if everybody knows it's there, because you can't retreat to it because everybody's there all the time, apparently. Anyway, Lance is going to lay down some knowledge, because now he's Mr. Spy Guy, because he's been doing this for about a half an hour, so he knows everything there is to know, and Vanity's going to fall into place as his sidekick rather than being the person in charge who could also kick his ass. But anyway, We are going to move forward here, and this is the scene. I'm going to play this clip. And at the end of this scene, what is happening is Vanity's kind of coming on to him, and he's like trying to shut her down, and she's sunbathing. And of course, at some point in time, they end up in a sack together, and you know, and they end up getting captured. But let me play this first clip where, you know, Lance turns into super spy extraordinaire.
Hey, what's wrong?
I don't like being set up.
Naturally. But that's the whole plan.
No, you're wrong. It's coming down different than you expect. Your pal Carruthers has set me up for the last time. The incinerator, the desert, and now here, and I don't like it.
So what are you saying? That Carruthers is the traitor your father suspected?
You got it, Danja.
So what the hell are we doing here?
You watch. Carruthers will lead us right to Ragnar, and that's what I want.
I'm impressed. You really are, Stargrove. I haven't had a chance to thank you for saving my life.
Play your part well, don't you?
I'm not playing.
I thought secret agents weren't really ever supposed to care for anyone.
It's gone way beyond that for me.
Spent a lifetime believing my father. In order to get me, huh?
There is a scene that I had not discussed. I don't have any audio for because it was pretty much all action driven here. When Lance does in fact save her life, him and Cliff, you know, neither one of them a super spy, you know, or even a security guard, but they managed to break into the stronghold of the evil guy, and Cliff using his super powered proton whatever gun that I have no idea how this thing works, but it shoots little shells and they explode and just blow gigantic holes into people and things. They are able to break in, and then standing in this very small room where apparently they burn people up, he blows a hole in the wall. Nobody gets hurt, though. They're in this small room, but apparently his device just blows the wall outward. They escape on these bikes and fly off, and you know, he saved her life. And that is when, I think, when, you know, it turned, and both of them turned into James Bond. So the next clip, they get captured. Ragnar, as Carruthers, moves in. He claims there's some sort of problem. He goes in, says, don't anybody do anything until you hear from me. He replaces both of them, both Lance and Vanity. He replaces them with people that look like them, so that whoever's watching thinks they're still there. And they get in a chopper and they start flying away. And then we have this really, I wasn't even going to include this, but it's just so over-the-top acting by Gene Simmons, where he's flying it and she realizes it's Carruthers flying it. And he starts peeling off his beard and his wig and rolls his eyes up in his head and you know, says, you know, I'm Ragnar.
Brady!
Yes, sir.
No sign of Ragnar. Anything on your end?
Nothing from here, sir.
All right, let's keep in touch. Very close. I can feel it.
Carruthers?
And Ragnar!
My God, it is Ragnar!
Surprise!
Surprise!
Hey, he is Ragnar. Anyway, our heroes are taken to the compound arena place here, right? And you know, they bring them out, march them out in a cage as people throw stuff at them, and they are handcuffed up, and they're standing in a ring of about, I don't know, 40 of these Road Warrior rejects. while Gene Simmons stands on a or sits on a little throne above them all, and our computer expert, the guy in charge of everything, Riley, played by Robert Englund, kind of kneels at his side holding a glass filled with some sort of beverage. And this is the exchange that happens. This is just a brilliant part of this whole movie. I love this scene for so many reasons. And as much as I'm mocking this film, you know what? I'll probably watch this again next year. It's just a great movie. It's just so bad. And so many things about it. But at the time, this was the most amazing thing I'd ever seen. My favorite band, one of the guys, was doing a movie, and it was an action film. And there was, like, you know, kind of a science fiction slant with the weapons and everything. And it had Vanity in it, who was just smoking hot. And, you know, all these things were made this movie just so great in my book. But at any rate, I love this exchange. And you have that perfect 80s moment, you know, where... You know, the heroes are doomed, but he's going to appeal to somebody's honor of the criminals. And he's going to talk to the individual that Vanity kicked his butt in the beginning and smashed his face in horse poop. And, of course, let me play the clip and then I'll explain the vast error that happened during this fight.
Ragnar, you don't happen to have a spare key on you, do you?
Like father, like son. I love it. How'd you get in the shop?
Money works wonders. I had a lot to spend, and I'm gonna get a lot more.
I don't think so. See, you seem to be missing one small thing. A disc.
Not quite right. Pyramid.
It's because
I love it. Take them, my puppies, and grind them well. Get back.
Hey, you Japanese fruit fly.
Me? You talk to me?
Yeah. You know, it's pretty obvious when you and Miss Priest up there get it on who's on top. I just wanted you to know that. Oh, yeah, you're real tough with your little boneheads around. But, correct me if I'm wrong, the last time I saw you, I think this pretty little girl had your face in horseshit. Yeah, I am right, horseshit, yeah. What I'd like to know is how you'd react on a one-on-one basis with a real man. That's me, you know. Shut up.
Let me square him.
Gladly, my father.
Let him go.
They're gonna kill you.
They're gonna kill us anyway.
So, giant mohawk guy is not going to have his honor besmirched because he's an honorable man. So, they take off the cuffs because that's what you do. And then they have this fight, and, you know, Lance, he's playing the character of Lance. He's not John Stamos. He's an actor. He uses some gymkata moves and, like, flips all over the place and beats this guy's ass, and then, which is ridiculous because the guy's, like, five times his size, right? And what's ridiculous is that the other 40 people have guns. He ends up falling back into the crowd, knocks some guy down, and takes his machine gun. Because when you're having the guy that you're trying to capture, and you know that he knows some sort of, you know, fighting technique, no matter how weird it is, you want to stand as close to him as humanly possible and hold onto your weapon very loosely. Because, you know, he's not going to take it because they're having a battle of honor. Hello. And so... Suddenly, half the other people don't no longer have guns. I have no idea why they're here. They're all henchmen, right? It's not a community. It's just a bunch of henchmen, and they have no guns. And so he's able to shoot the chains off of Vanity. This happens multiple times when nobody gets hurt, where he's able to shoot the chains off of her. When she was lying in the furnace room where they were going to burn her up, he shot right next to her hand on the chains and was able to free her. Anyway, so they are having they have this battle, and the two of them, of course, are just laying waste to all the henchmen. In the meantime, Ragnar runs to the computer room where Cliff is at, and the next clip is Cliff explaining that maybe they can still pull off this scheme to ransom the water supply, although there will be no ransom. Still have a problem with that.
Come on, Riley. Come on, Riley. Come on.
There's a solution. If we trigger the Diablo valves, the contamination is still gone.
But won't the Doomsday Blast destroy all valve controls?
I built in remote backups, remember?
Oh, you sweet thing! And how are these remotes controlled?
By the radio in this briefcase. Keyed by this magnetic disc. All right, come on.
And when he says magnetic disc, it sounds so ominous. What he really means is a Maxell floppy disk. It's blue, in case you're wondering. Anyway, Ragnar gets into a tanker truck, and he has the computer. He's trying to get it to, he's got to be within so close in order to activate everything. And he gets there, and he hides behind a building because Lance is behind him on a motorcycle. Well, Ragnar, who has just amazing reflexes, but yet it's going to lose the final battle. He finds like a crowbar, a pry bar type deal on the outside of one of the buildings, and waits till Lance flies by on his motorcycle and throws it into the back spokes, and Lance wrecks. And then they have this exchange, which is, well, I'm going to put both these clips together, but it's funny because I never really thought about it, and I still don't really see it, but whatever. I was reading a review of this movie. I found another reviewer who was talking about this film, because I was trying to find a DVD version of it. Because that being said, if this comes out on DVD, I'm buying it this day it comes out, because I just need to have this in my collection. Anyway, a nice pristine copy with fantastic music. They say that he says a homophobic slur, which I don't really get, but hey, you know, what do I know? I'm a middle-aged white guy. I don't know. I'm not offended by very much. Anyhow. And then they have their fight scene, and so I'm gonna put these two clips together, and then, you know, I'll be back.
Come on. This is for your funeral, sweetheart.
No count on it, baby doll. Maybe for yours.
Oh, is that so? Well, you see that beautiful drinking water on its way to millions of homes? Well, in a little while, it'll still be on its way, but this time glowing and contaminated.
Not if I can help a clown.
Lance, can't you see the greatness in me? I'm female and male, man and woman.
I'm better than you are!
Yeah, but don't you understand something? You're only half of each. I'm a whole man. So if you excuse me, I don't have a lot of time here. I gotta save the world.
Program it!
Please. Please. Lance, I can't. Once it's been programmed, you can't deprogram it. Don't you read spy novels?
Come on! Come on!
Lance! You can't hit a woman! You beast! You savage!
You really are like a woman, aren't you?
I am a woman. And a man!
And Gene Simmons he has a cover on his long fingernail, and he stabs Lance in the gut with it. And Lance ends up picking him up and trying to throw him over the bridge, and Lance is hanging on. And the next scene, everything's very, I'm very stressed right now. This is very, very intense stuff. Lance is hanging on, and we already saw Lance's bike go over the edge and get busted up on the rocks. So we know that it's a terrible thing. If he falls over, he's going to get just smashed into little bits. It's going to be awful. And so as he's hanging there, Gene Simmons has the pry bar, and he's going along the railing and banging on his fingers as he hums a little tune there, and you know, just kind of talks about himself.
You see, you can do nasty things, and they don't come back to you. So you see, you're never too young to die.
Come on!
I just want to tell you how beautiful you are.
Yes, I left all that wonderful 80s music in there for you, the listener, so you can understand how great the 80s were. I don't care what anybody says, best decade ever. Anyhow, so what happens there is that, you know, when he tries to get his little kiss, somehow Lance, oh, it's because he's a super spy, I forgot, he grabs Gene Simmons' hand, I'm sorry, Ragnar's hand, he's acting, and takes his little pointy nail and stabs him in the throat, and then flips up with his legs, wraps his legs around his neck, and then pulls his like 6'5" figure over the railing, up and over the railing, and he dashes below on the rocks. And that is the end of Ragnar. And then the best part. This is the best part. I mean, there's so many good parts, I know. Okay, this is one of the top 10 best parts. He decides that how to stop everything, even though we have 10 seconds left, the computer's counting down before all the atomic sludge, radioactive sludge, goes into the water supply and kills millions. He decides to take Cliff's little flamethrower type deal. He points it at a computer, and he shoots it, and a little ball comes out, and nothing happens. So he tries to the gun is malfunctioning at some point, so he takes the computer, and he throws it up in the air with one hand, takes the gun, and throws it up in the air like 3 seconds later with the other hand. After he closes the computer up, it's in a metal suitcase, right? He doesn't take the computer out of the suitcase. He closes the metal protective suitcase up. Clips it shut, throws it with one hand, throws the gun with the other hand. The two collide and it blows up and he saves the day. It is the most brilliant ending ever. Just fantastic.
Remarkable young man.
Is that all you have to say?
True Stark wrote. You know, there are from time to time some small assignments where young fellas like you and Cliff can be of great service.
Oh, no. I've been shot at, drop-kicked, almost blown up. No, thank you.
You are, Stargrove.
Thanks, but no thanks. You have a car we could use?
Help yourself.
Matthews, this vehicle's history.
Cliff, would you drive?
So you think you can sit through Biology 101 after this?
Yes. Bye, sweetheart. Thanks for everything. Let's go.
Thank you.
It is.
No more of this craziness, you got it? Let's go.
You know, Lance, did you ever get a good look at Ragnar's body after...
Don't start, Donja.
Really, I think the proper procedure would be to go back and...
Donja!
Bet you think we're done, don't you? No, 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 no. We're not. I still have another gem to share with you. You have a theme song all about Stargrove. It's a like 3 minute long song as he's working at the gym talking about Stargrove. That's the first part of that scene, that theme you heard right there was that. And then we have Gene Simmons performing a fantastic number in full out drag. We have an audio clip of him actually including the title of the movie in the clip saying that goes to show you're never too young to die. Okay, we have all those great moments in this film. Fantastic moments. We have another moment that I didn't talk about, but during the fight scene, Gene Simmons has him on the ground. He has Lance on the ground. And the way Lance gets him off is he manages to pull down his dress a little bit in the front, because Gene's in full drag when he's doing this, and he bites his boob. Okay, and it's a great scene because they show him screaming and pulling back, and they're showing a full set of women's boobs, which Gene Simmons clearly does not have. And also, any other time, he kind of has a hairy chest. So I found it kind of funny, but I'm not sure who posed for that. But it was a, you know, not once is digital doing, stopping it midstream to check these things out. You know, these are the things that I do for you, the listener. It's not something I enjoy looking at breasts. I had to go and I had to make sure everything was official. Besides all of those wonderful things, we have the final theme song, which is Never Too Young to Die. And of course, I'm going to share that with you.
I must be in a fantasy. The world I own is keeping in on me. But I'm gonna conquer all the troubles that I face. Got to survive and live my life. 'Cause you're never too young. You're never too young to die.
Y'all can just join right in and sing it. Come on. You're never too young. You're never too young to die.
Never too young. You're never too young to die. You're never too young. You're never too young to die. And I don't know why. Looks like I'm caught up in romance. I am a victim of mere circumstance. Since love can only last as long as it can grow, don't let it die or pass us by. 'Cause you're never too young. You're never too young to die. You're never too young. You're never too young to die. Never too young. You're never too young to die. You're never too young. You're never too young to die. We've got to hold on to each moment that we can. There's something else much stronger in a master plan. and all we're given here, consider it as blessed. Might be a learning ground, or maybe just a test. Oh! You're never too young, you're never too young to die. Oh! You're never too young, you're never too young to die. Never too young, you're never too young to die. You're never too young, you're never too young to die. You're never too young, you're never too young to die. You're never too young, you're never too young to die.
All the 80s. I miss you so much. It was the me generation. Anyway, that song was composed by Irene Koster. It does not say who sang the song. That Irene also did Stargrove, which is, you know, a great song. I'm not going to play it for you, but if you guys give me enough feedback, I will pull the audio and put it in here just for you. Because, you know, you act like you don't want to hear it. But after that gem, You're Never Too Young to Die, I can promise that half of you listening right now will be singing that at some point in the day. And people will look at you like you're crazy. But it's a brilliant song. Go back and listen to the lyrics. It's all about the movie. It's all about everything that happened to Lance. Anyway, so that was the movie, Never Too Young to Die. Great film. Highly recommended. It's up there in my top 1 million movies to see before you die. And it was made in 1986. I think that I covered, all the main stars, John Stamos, Vanity, Gene Simmons. We had George Lazenby as Drew Stargrove, Peter Kwong as Cliff, Robert Englund as Riley. And I think that's about all of the known people. What did George... Lazenby, he played in a Bond film, and surprisingly enough, he did some voice work for Batman Beyond. I did not know that, so hey. And a couple of them. And so he didn't, he got to be a secret agent twice. I mean, of the two movies, you know, obviously this was the better spy film. I think we all know that. I mean, it's it's awesome, you know. So, he was on Her Majesty's Secret Service. And, that's that. You know, I don't know. I don't really have much more to add. I just want to say that it was 1986 and I was a youngster. And I thought this was an awesome movie. And when I first point in time I was able to buy it, I did. I'm so excited. I can't even form words. It's so excited. But you really need to see this. Those people out there that like the B-movies or like, movies that are just ridiculous, you've got to go see this. And like I said, you know, it was 86. I thought this was cool. It was the 80s. I thought a lot of things were cool that clearly were not. Have you ever watched a music video from the 80s? Yeah, I don't know what we were thinking either. I blame all the drugs. I'm not exactly sure what happened. That's what happened. So, that was your, consider that your April Fool's Day show. I don't think this will drop on actual April Fool's Day, but, it'll be considered part of that holiday. So everybody enjoy. Feedback is welcome. If you ever come across a legit version of this movie on DVD, I expect an email, a text, a tweet, something right away so that I can purchase it before they're all gone. Because once this thing ever hits DVD, people are going to be snapping them up. It's going to be a collector's item. If, on the other hand, you would like to partake of this gem, there is not a version on DVD. There is not a digital version of this movie anywhere. I have a digital version that I converted on my own. I am happy to share that with you. You let me know and we'll work something out. So anyway, there's that. This is the end, my friends. Thank you for taking the time to download and listen. As always, sci-fi-dig.com is where you can find all the contact information. I have a Facebook group, a Google group. You can follow me on Twitter. We have a Google email group. We have forums. We have all that stuff. So feel free to contact me, send in comments, send in, you can call the voice line. Haven't used the voice line in a while. That's fun. All that different ways to do that. And I look forward to hearing from you. This is Aaron for the Sci-Fi Dig Podcast. Over and out.
He ain't got much to say, but he loves me, loves me, loves me. I know that he loves me anyway. And maybe he don't dress fine, but I don't really mind. 'Cause